Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's take you through what is going on in Philadelphia. We do have a falling tree that crushed and killed a woman as she drove through the main line. Police saying that a large tree fell on two different cars in Wynwood. This is Montgomery County. Drivers traveling along Lancaster Avenue right near Stanford Drive. And this was on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, right before the 2 o'clock hour. Police say a 59-year-old woman was killed. 64-year-old woman is hospitalized this morning. First responders working as quickly as they could to extricate the two women from their vehicles, and they were taken to nearby Lankenau Hospital. And so if you were in and around that area of the main line, you know that Lancaster Ave was shut down for most of the afternoon and into the evening hours, 5-6 hours, because this is now a death investigation. So it's being led by Lower Marion Township Police Department's Traffic Safety Unit. So we don't know what is up. We did have some, obviously, storms that had moved through.
Oh, that wind yesterday was horrendous.
It was very windy.
It was really windy, yeah.
We're a city with huge old trees, but just this freak accident. These women were not parked or anything of that nature. They were just driving through.
We've had these a decent amount of fairly frequently, right?
Is it you, Dawn, who always says that you drive when it's windy with your windows open?
So you can hear. I'm not even kidding. You just crack your window. This is how paranoid I am.
You are. Trees or pedophiles? What's scaring you more, Dawn?
But seriously, if you have, let's say you're listening to us, or you're listening to something too loudly in your vehicle with big, nice speakers, you're not going to have any kind of a warning of that cracking branch above.
Well,
I mean, you only have seconds, obviously, anyway, but
I do notice a lot of the trees on the Schuylkill as I'm, you know, sitting there each morning at 10:15 pondering why I just don't work remotely for the rest of my life. You're right. We do have a lot of, it's not even just older trees. We have a lot of trees that are just not maintained well, right? Have you ever, just take a glimpse when you're on the Schuylkill between City Line Avenue and Conshohocken.
You know what's funny about you, Kale, though? When they decide to do tree work on the Schuylkill, you're going to be cursing because guess what time they're going to do it?
Yeah, they'll do it at 10:15.
When everybody else is at work.
Right,
of course. Be careful what you wish for.
I know.
This morning we
always prune your trees. That's the answer.
Yeah. Trim your bushes. Clip your shrubs. Yes. Stay up on that stuff, folks.
Yeah. Especially those big old trees.
Yeah. Nobody likes a bush either.
The arborist. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. Tree removal people are now called arborists.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And take them down on golf courses, too, while you're at it. Sick of those.
We do have, in as far as Philadelphia, two men fighting for their lives after the stabbing in Kensington, East Allegheny Ave. Just in the wee hours of this morning, they're in the hospital in critical condition. A 36-year-old guy arrested for the stabbing, and so he's also being treated for his injuries, according to police. This whole thing remains under investigation. And we have multiple shootings. I know that we have the one shooting in the Eastwick section of Philadelphia, kind of over by the airport. So we have a teenager recovering after being shot. That one is under investigation. One big story for commuters, probably breathing a sigh of relief a little bit, because we do have the New Jersey Transit strike is over. They struck a tentative deal, so that's the good news. However, officials are asking New Jersey Transit riders, all these commuters by the hundreds of thousands, please work from home today, Monday, because they have to get ready to resume services for tomorrow.
Get ready to resume.
Get ready. Got to prepare.
By the way, did you guys see what some of these New Jersey Transit employees make?
Yeah, they're like nice salaries.
Like, you can make up to like $172,000 for these jobs. And I saw the package that they looked like they were offering them. It didn't seem like a bad deal. It was like $50 an hour.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, in their defense, they have been frozen at this salary and what they're making for 6 years.
Welcome to radio.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to our world.
I mean, come on.
I mean, not that we are managing, vehicles that carry the lives of hundreds of thousands of people every day, but
it's
a track. We're good for your mental health.
It's a track. I mean, come on. I think my 5-year-old could do this.
No.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, you know.
It's like being the train conductor on Christmas morning.
Yeah, keep a train on a track. It doesn't seem that difficult.
You know what? I think the salary is justified based on the clientele and the human beings you have to deal with.
Well, they were saying that they didn't want to, or they wanted to be paid in line with, like, what the Port Authority in New York and with the Long Island Railroad, what they made. But it was still like $50 an hour. I'm like, good God, man. Yeah.
But they're also not New York, so you're not going to get that kind of salary.
You could actually argue that there's probably more people commuting from New Jersey and Long Island into New York than
New Yorkers taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So it's their statement, and I know New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy sounded off on this, but they said that extra buses are available for you.
Oh, God.
If you want to take a bus, that sounds like fun.
I heard you carry a little of Murphy Friday as I was sitting there inhaling weed on the Schuylkill in traffic
stinky.
That just wasn't moving. My God, was it painful for you to sit through that as the host? I'm sitting there, I'm listening to him hemming and hawing. I want to thank everybody for the late gathering. Ah, God, just get down to business, dude.
By the way, speaking of that, the commute home on Friday for me was horrendous.
Yeah.
That rain was terrible.
A nightmare.
It was terrible.
And then the weird thing was, it was within hours, the skies, it was like, whoa.
I know. And the
moment
was beautiful. Yeah, I know.
So it was crazy. So we'll watch for the update on the official. I mean, Greg alluded to the numbers, but they haven't released the official deal for New Jersey Transit. So, but they're saying, I did not realize Tuesday is one of, if not the busiest commuter day of the week, Tuesday, which makes sense because that's when everybody has to be here at Odyssey.
That's when the sales reps have to show up.
I can tell you just from looking at data here, we get more listeners here Tuesdays and Wednesdays than any other day of the week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
More people are commuting, I guess.
Well, I've got buddies that work for financial companies that now go into the office only Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're remote Mondays and Fridays.
Man.
Yep.
Wow.
We all need to be here, by the way. Thank you. I have spoken.
Well, a jury selection is set to begin today, this morning, in the murder trial of the man on trial is former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial. Remember this case? So he is on trial accused of shooting and killing a man of this. They're both the same age at the time, 29. Eddie Irizarry, as Irizarry sat in his car in Kensington. Remember, this was 2 years ago, and the panel will be asked to decide whether or not the officer's actions on that day were justified or amounted to a crime. So it was the summer of 2023 in August, and we talked a lot about it.
Was he the one with the knife in the passenger seat?
Yes, and they released video, one set of video that there were some protests going on, remember? And then they released other video these jurors are going to get to see a lot of videos in court and see maybe the full perspective of what both officers were going through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that trial beginning. Also, I should mention that today I had on the docket that the so-called Delco defecator.
Yes.
Delco,
the pooper.
Pooper.
Yeah.
There's a court appearance with her.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So we got that going on.
Hopefully they get that S taken care of quickly.
Jeez. We have just headlining for you, because I know we'll get into it. President Trump's, quote, one big beautiful bill, surviving that key hurdle in the House of Representatives late last night, putting it one step closer to now a chamber-wide vote in the House.
Oh boy, we're really spiking that deficit, aren't we?
So we got that going on.
I came close to spiking a watermelon yesterday.
Mmm. That sounds yummy.
Yeah. First watermelon of the year.
Ooh, that's very
delicious.
Good. And I know that Nick is going to talk about former President Joe Biden as this cancer diagnosis with prostate cancer, aggressive as it was reported, a ton of reaction.
Yeah, because, you know, every time you go to your urologist when you're of that age and you do once a year checkup or whatever it is, they always find stage 4 cancer
mm.
that have already metastasize.
Are you getting conspiratorial here about maybe Joe Biden not being honest about his health status?
No, but I'm going by a urologist that I just looked at, watched on the news, who was like, it doesn't, if you're going for a yearly exam, you don't just automatically, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't happen like that.
Maybe, maybe Joe just doesn't have the best doctors. He didn't have the best access to health care. I've heard the stories.
You don't just, okay.
Well, the interesting thing to me, I know that, I mean, the story broke yesterday, everybody's responding to it, but we had reported
that there was
much
nodule.
Earlier, yeah, that there was a nodule that was earlier in the week, was here, the checkup was here in Philadelphia. So, to Greg's point, it sounds like they had been monitoring the nodule.
Yeah.
And then, it's like by omission, they knew the nodule was there.
Yeah.
And then, for whatever reason, Sunday they decided to release information to us, the public.
As all these Robert Herr
think about the timeline. And I've got some great data we're going to get into after the big take. But, I mean, you've got nodule discovery. Then we have Herr tapes released. Then we have cancer diagnosis statement. And what comes out tomorrow? Oh, the book. The Jake Tapper book. It's all purely coincidental.
It's about Jake Tapper. That's funny.
It's about all of this with the health.
Mm-hmm. We have our Philadelphia Phillies beating the Pirates 1-0. Big Phillies news with as we begin the new series.
Swept them, baby.
That's a feat.
Hey, 11-5 in the month of May.
That's good. No, it's great. It's great. It's great. But you know, you have to beat the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they did. So it's good.
Yep. So it was good.
Can only beat who you're scheduled to play.
Not so good for Phillies reliever Jose Alvarado, who's been suspended now for 80 games by the MLB. And suspended without pay he's accused of violating Major League Baseball's drug policy. And he tested positive, according to the authorities, for exogenous testosterone, which they say is a performance-enhancing substance.
Yes. Everybody looking to one-up the competition.
Now, I know that his agent or his representatives actually said he has battled weight gain and chubbiness.
Yeah, so have I.
He's very self-conscious. And that this was part of his treatment, that he never meant to break the rules there. It was part of his weight loss treatment.
All right. Well, Jose, I've really plateaued in my diet goal here. So if you could maybe shoot me a text during the break and give me your secret sauce. Wait, I could use that.
Wait a second. Testosterone is used for weight loss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It helps. Yeah.
Interesting.
Get your adrenaline going to work out harder and burn more fat.
What? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm. And that's why I was interested to hear about that, because I want, if he genuinely is going to a doctor who he's, because all these people now are taking the cocktail of the peptides, you know what I mean? The testosterone or whatever. Testosterone evens you out, all this stuff out there that we hear advertised. So will they make the case from an expert, from a doctor who says, hey, I gave this to him. This was the weight loss stuff. This is not some dark alley where I'm pumping him full of something for baseball.
Right.
Does he win? Does he fight this and win on appeal?
Probably not. I mean, he might fight it, but he's not going to win.
Because he can't play, according to the rules, he can't play now even when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
We make the playoffs.
Yeah.
This disqualifies him.
Yeah, he's pretty much shot for the year.
Wow.
Shoot.
Yep. Could have just done what Dawn does. Don't ever eat. Never seen Dawn eat. Just drink coffee.
Just drink coffee.
And work 24/7, you'll lose weight.
And you'll feel good. And you'll have a...
yeah, that's super healthy.
You'll have a happy life. You know?
By the way, Chris, I believe it brings up a good point. The Yankees beat the Mets over the weekend, so now the Phillies are only half a game out of...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do-do-do-do. And now we begin a schedule with... Today, 8:40 p.m.
8:40
with the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, I always love mountain time games.
Mountains,
stupid times. 8:40. What planet does it make sense to start a game at 8:40?
They better stack up the wins against these dreadful teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously,
right?
Thank you.
That is your Kale and Company News Live as we look toward the sky. Nick, I know it's going to be beautiful today, but I would say if you're doing it, golfing, doing anything, you might want to do it today.
Yeah, get it in early this week. 61 degrees with clear skies right now. It's going up to 75 today, Dawn. And then, as you said, get ready for some more bad weather. It's sponsored by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. All right, coming up next, big take time on Joe Biden from the Her tapes. The audio has been released. And then we'll get into the cancer diagnosis as we continue on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. The Big Take, ignore and import. We'll get to Joe Biden and his cancer diagnosis shortly after the Big Take, but we begin with this, because from January of 2021 until June 27th, 2024, the Biden administration had two objectives. Ignore the cognitive decline of Joe Biden, call it misinformation, accuse people of using cheap fakes, sell you a bill of goods, that this is the best Joe we've ever seen, and those rare off days that you would see, well, they were attributable to a cold, or his stutter, or it was disinformation. The second objective was to import new voters, and it was the long game that they were playing. Flood the country with illegals in 4 years, knowing someday that they could turn battleground states into blue states, hoping that it would take a lifetime to deport most, if not all, of these individuals. Axios and SCOTUS illustrate today's theme of the Big Take precisely. We begin with Axios and the concept of ignoring. Release the tapes, most of us screamed. That in reference to the Robert Hur interview with Joe Biden that was so bad, the tapes are only now finally coming out in the form of a news dump on last Friday's show. The best way to summarize the entirety of the Robert Hur and Joe Biden interview is this way. There were a ton of long, uncomfortable pauses. Biden struggled to recall when his son died, when his time as vice president under Obama ended, what year Trump defeated Hillary, and why he was in possession of classified documents. I think the more we learn over these last handful of days and weeks, you could argue that this is the biggest political cover-up in my lifetime for sure, and perhaps yours as well. Here is just one clip, and there'll be more in the cut sheet, of Joe Biden with Robert Hur, courtesy of Axios on Friday, where Joe is completely out of it. Listen and watch this.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden Cancer Workshop or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on?
Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18 area?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying. And so it was, and by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. Not a mean thing to say, man. He just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I might run for office again. But if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, when the vote died, May 30th, 2015, he died.
I'm not sure the month or, but I think it was.
Yeah.
That's right, Mr. President.
And what's happened in the meantime is that as Trump gets elected in November of 2016.
That was painful to sit through, was it not? And yet all of us saw it, and we said, he is eroding before our very eyes. And yet all of us heard it. He was deteriorating every single day. And yet all of us were lambasted for calling a spade a spade. The Atlantic with a headline from 2023, how Robert Herr misled the country on Biden's memory. Everyone was involved in the cover-up, from Jill to the media to other Democrats to Obama to Schumer to Pelosi to Clinton, you name it, including perhaps the most detestable human being in that administration, Alejandro Mayorkas, the public face, if you will, to open borders. Here he was telling us that Joe Biden, he's on a different level. Listen and watch.
The most difficult part about a meeting with President Biden is preparing for it, because he is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
And even puppets like the Binder, always at a loss for words on everything, somehow, some way, managed to pull off an 88-second word salad when pressed about the Robert Herr interview last year. Listen and watch this.
Doctor, when can we talk to the president's doctor, and how come he hasn't been, or they haven't been asked to come out here and talk with us, given the Herr report that challenges the president's mental fitness?
So look, you know, just to speak to the Herr report really, really quickly. Special Counsel Herr is, as far as I remember, is obviously a Republican, a prosecutor. He's not a medical doctor. He's just not. It's not for him to speak to. It's just not. And you've heard from over the past couple of days since the report has been out, you've heard from legal experts from across the ideological spectrum, even a former attorney general. And he says, and they have come out to say that the stuff in this report that is capturing all of your attention right now is just wrong. It's flatly wrong. It is inappropriate. It is gratuitous. And so, going to leave that there, and it is obviously up for a medical doctor to decide on that. But look, I have said the medical doctor, the president's doctor, is going to do a physical. He's going to, and he has always put forth in the last 2 years a detailed memo on the president's medical physical. And so I'm just going to leave it there. I don't have anything else to add. Go ahead, Jared.
The 2020 election and the subsequent 4 years will go down as the heist of the century. A man whose brain was relegated to the equivalent of a sock full of popcorn, campaigns from a basement, during a pandemic, gets elected, somehow gets 81 million votes, which is, by the way, 13 million more than Obama ever received, okay? During a pandemic, gets elected, has limited availability, limited visibility for 4 years, makes random cameos from time to time as proof of life, has wars raging across the globe, inflation at 9.1%, has allowed 15 or 20 million illegals into our country, and then slanders half of the nation as radical domestic extremists. And then, as if that wasn't a big enough con job, they try to install another president that's never earned the right to be there in the first place. Thank God Americans saw through it last November. Michael Smirkanish of CNN, who manned this seat right here for many years, he saw it too, and he had a lot to say on his Saturday TV show on CNN. Listen and watch.
The public is right to question why so much reporting came after Biden's withdrawal from the race, and how so many prominent Democrats could have assured us all the while that everything was just fine with the president. As today's New York Times story points out, many are seeking atonement. The failure of the media to cover President Biden's diminished capacity, that inflamed Republicans who could see it for themselves. And that, in combination with the four prosecutions of Donald Trump, some valid, some not, and the constant condescension with which his supporters were treated, that was the greatest get-out-the-vote effort the GOP could have asked for. Remember, according to polling data, even Democrats believed that Biden was getting too old to run again.
Well said by Smirkanish. The public was right. We were right all along. How many times have we been right in the last 5 years, despite, quote, the constant condescension of Democrats and the media? But from ignoring to importing we go. SCOTUS ruling on Friday against Donald Trump for using the Alien Enemies Act for deportations. The ruling went against Trump 7-2. The only two justices who dissented, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. And here's the truth. We have 10, 12, 15, 20 million illegals in this country. And the due process that the Supreme Court had decreed on Friday means that it is basically impossible to ever deport all of them from America, at least in my lifetime. This has always been the Democrat Party's goal, hoping and praying that some, if not most, and hopefully all, will be the next wave of voters for the Democrat Party. And Jonathan Turley broke it down this way. He says, quote, here's the issue. The U.S. law isn't applied strictly for their arrival, but it is applied strictly for their departure, which means the barrier to arrival is non-existent and the barrier to expulsion is massive. The result is untenable. That is perfectly worded from Jonathan Turley. Let me translate that out of legalese into layman's terms. The law with immigration, it's apparently a one-way street and it's effed up. Ignore and import. That's been the left's goal all along, from the health of their own to the populace of this nation. Anything and everything for power. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. If you have water on your property and it's giving you a headache, soggy yards, damp patio, floating, wrinkling pool liners, water invading your home, call Garden State Earthworks, your drainage solution experts, 856-848-4444. Kale and Company, let's get everybody's thoughts and reaction, 855-839-1210 on X at 1210WPHT, and of course in the YouTube chat. Dawn, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the audio tapes that were released, and then we'll get into the cancer diagnosis and the timing of that statement yesterday.
Yeah, I would say this, Nick, that first of all, I think Michael was right when he called out the condescension. I'll never forgive Jake Tapper for the way that he treated Lara Trump and the way that he was so condescending, cut her off, which he never did to anybody. I think that was horrible. The only thing I will say, because everybody was ripping on Amy, what you gonna do? Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court ruling. The only thing I'll say to that is that from what I can see, even though you're right, it's so messed up. However, when you look at the ruling, they're only talking about the fact that, of the notice that they give, the 24-hour notice. So that's not a done deal.
Yeah.
They've only ruled on part of it. So that leaves me half glass full.
Yeah.
That maybe they'll do it. Because I think the justices, when they went back and forth, they seem to agree on the fact that it is, I think they would agree with Nick Kale's big take that it's messed up.
It is. And, it is. Know, we have all these rules and regulations for deporting, but it's just for as far as importing, it's, you know, anything goes up until, of course, Trump sealed and closed off the border.
Yeah, it's a sin. And the fact that these lower courts can essentially shut things down like this and clog up the courts. So those are two big things that I'm glad are being, that I think are common ground issues.
Yeah.
At this point. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I think it's an 80-20 or maybe even 90-10 issue. I think,
oh, no doubt.
You know, people can look at that and go, yeah, that all these things are true. This is a messed up system.
Yep. All right. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Now let's get to the health of Joe Biden. We talked about the cognitive decline. There are more clips of the Robert Hur tapes that'll come up on the cut sheet at 7:45. And then yesterday we get this press release statement from the personal office of former President Joe Biden. Quote, last week, President Joe Biden was seen for a new finding of a prostate nodule, which we reported on Dawn's News, after experiencing increasing urinary symptoms. On Friday, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, characterized by a Gleason score of 9, which is a grade group 5 with metastasis to the bone. While this represents a more aggressive form of the disease, the cancer appears to be hormone sensitive, which allows for effective management. The president and his family are reviewing treatment options with his physicians.
Can I ask you guys a question? Is it at some age, and I don't know this because we were just debating this, I think, on Friday about the age to get your prostate checked, you know, just as a routine physical.
Yeah.
When you get up to a certain age, do they just stop prostate exams because the theory is that most men, if they live to a certain age, will get some sort of prostate issue, but it won't kill them?
It's a great question. I don't know. I was asking you because I thought the, you know, when we're talking about prostates and colons and things like that, I thought it was 50, and then you were like, no, it's like 45.
Well, it's
40.
It's 45 for colon.
Okay.
But I think it's 50 for prostate unless you have a history or, you have issues.
Gotcha.
But I don't, like... Is there a certain age where you get to where they just don't check it anymore? You know, or
no,
not check it as thoroughly? Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think they check it.
So
I do.
The theory then is that if he was going routinely for physicals,
there's no way it would have reached this without it being concealed.
But there's a blood test, right, that they do. Because I was at Johns Hopkins, their prostate cancer screening. They say between the ages of 40 to 54. So if you don't have a medical history or anything of that nature, I guess what they can do is, in general, they would start at age 40 at the very minimum, just doing a blood screening. It's just a simple blood test with your blood work at age 40, because this is such a common thing, like Greg said.
Yeah.
So basically what you always hear is, hey, all men are going to have some level of prostate cancer in your lifetime, right? But it's really treatable, and that's why they usually, I always thought they started the screening, at least the blood test, at 40.
I'll give you my theory as to what I think's in play here. And first of all, I wish Joe Biden nothing but the best. I don't care if I hate every single thing he's ever done politically. I don't want anybody to get cancer, especially some of these grotesque cancers that are just absolutely abhorrent to deal with and go through treatment. So, first of all, thoughts and prayers with him. I know it's cliche, and I don't think you have to say that to qualify or to squelch anything before you get into your theories as to what's really at play here, but I'm just not one of these people that wants any ill will towards people that I disagree with politically. But knowing what we know about the medical cover-up of his mental health, and now the tapes being released with Robert Herr on Friday and his state of mind, here's what I think you have to absolutely consider as a possibility for what's in play. Would you rule it out and put it past Jill Biden, Democrats, whoever, right? Biden's inner circle that covered everything up the last 4 years to have known this, buried it, tried to run him, hoped to win, and then announce after winning some point between November 6th and January 2021st that he has, and by the way, it's stage 4, not stage 5, it's grade group 5. Big difference there for what it's worth. And then install and anoint Kamala Harris as the, quote, successor, elevating her from the vice president to the president of the United States. I don't think you can rule that out, because I just don't understand. And I looked this up yesterday. There was a couple of medical doctors on social media sharing their opinion on this diagnosis. Dr. Stephen Quay, and I saw his thoughts, and I looked him up. He went to the University of Michigan Med School. He was also a Department of Pathology faculty member at Stanford. And he says the following about Biden's diagnosis. Prostate cancer is the easiest cancer to diagnose when it first starts, and watch it progress to bone metastasis. The PSA blood test shows the rate of cancer cell growth. For even with the most aggressive form, it is a 5 to 7 year journey without treatment before it becomes metastatic.
I'm so glad you highlighted
metastatic.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Meaning it would be malpractice for this patient to show up and be first diagnosed with metastatic disease in May of 2025. And it is highly likely he was carrying a diagnosis of prostate cancer throughout his White House tenure, and the American people were uninformed.
I'm so glad you brought this up. This is literally, Nick, this is the last thing I read before I fell asleep last night. So
really?
I'm glad you brought. Can I do? Can I play this? I was going to wait for the cut sheet, but I want to get into this now. This urologist was on News Nation who basically said the exact same thing that you're saying, that for somebody getting annual checkups and not notice the PSA elevation is malpractice. Start with 36, Phil.
It's very unlikely that someone could get annual checkups and not notice a PSA elevation over the past, you know, but this is what I typically would see in a VA hospital where a patient hasn't had medical attention in 10 years, presents to an emergency room with bone pain, and then they find that it's metastatic prostate cancer. But in the modern age of medicine, especially the fact that he was a former president, he had intensive state-of-the-art, you know, care where we can see prostate cancer, you know, 10 years in the past. So this is, I mean, it's very unusual to hear that someone has prostate cancer where they're annually being followed up. And the fact that we just find it at a Gleason 9 is just pretty much unheard of in this day and age of medicine, even in the, you know, even in the inner city populations, we wouldn't see it.
So you're saying
That was urologist David Schuster.
Mm-hmm. I've got these grade group rankings and Gleason scores. So a grade group one is a Gleason score of 6. And you can see it on YouTube here. Good work, Phil. Grade group 2 is a 7. Group 3 is also a 7, but how you arrive at the 7 differs. Grade group 4 is an 8. And then Joe Biden is the highest grade group 5, but it's still considered stage 4. His Gleason score is a 9 to 10. And that is highly aggressive, rapidly growing, and high risk. Although, according to the statement, it says the effective management and treatment options are very encouraging. So they kind of contradict each other a little bit. But I think the big story here is, how long did he know about this? How long was it covered up for? Wow. And why? And I think we know the why. And this just goes back to what I said last week when we had I think it was an argument on the show, which was great radio on Tuesday, when I said that I blame Dr. Jill first and foremost, and I called her a political power pig, because I look back and I'm like, I feel even more vindicated in calling her that. I mean, there's a possibility here. Again, I don't know for sure, but it seems like based on medicine and experts, which I'm not, I'm just regurgitating what I read from experts, she knew this, that her husband had prostate cancer and still wanted to be in the White House for another 4 years. I don't know. If my wife had cancer, I'd say, honey, you know what? I enjoy your salary, but maybe you want to just sit this one out. Just me.
Well, that raises a whole new set of questions. What were those conversations? I mean, did she ever say, look, Joe, we need to go home to Delaware and be on a beach and let him recover? Did she ever say that? Did she not say that? Were there these conversations? Because in the past, I thought that we were supposed to have some level of transparency with a president of the United States. I know that in the past, certainly, there have been some who have hidden things from us, but in this one, it's a pretty big thing to hide. If it's basically impossible that he went from, let's say, a 3 to a 9 on that scale mm-hmm. in that short of a time, then who was covering this up? Who was complicit? I mean,
who was running the country?
Again, I'm going to say it again, although I know everybody wants to dump on the former First Lady.
As well, they should.
Well, but I mean... I would say she's on the list, but I would say government employees and other elected officials who worked for us. So she didn't work for me. I didn't elect her. So do you want to say, oh boy, she should have done this? Okay. But we have the power as people to look at this and say, whoa, wait a minute. There were elected officials who are on our tab and other officials in the White House who had a duty to tell us this. And they should get in trouble for this. In other words, are there people actually criminally liable? This is a huge scandal as far as the health of a former president.
Oh, I agree.
And so I know that everybody, that's when I'm talking about the former First Lady. I'm simply saying that individual, we have no way of holding accountable. But there are people, we were paying their salaries, big salaries,
correct,
who we should hold accountable.
Every time there was bad news about Hunter Biden in 2023, out came another Trump arraignment, arrest, or indictment, right?
Oh, that's true.
Every time Joe Biden, think about every time the media now, fast forward 2 years later, you know, we've had the nodule, then the tapes. Cancer diagnosis, the day before the book. I mean, it's so insulting to our intelligence that I mean, like they don't even try to be covert about it. It's just, so basically what you're telling me, for since the weaponized lawfare of 2023, through the health and the dismissal of Biden and all the revelations that we all believe that are now being confirmed, everything, so 2 years worth of coincidences? Come on, man. Don't BS a BSer, as they used to say.
One more from this urologist, Schusterman. He says that Biden probably knew he had cancer 5 to 10 years ago. And by the way, all of those clips have been making the rounds on social media again of him in 2022 talking about the oil slicks, yeah. You know, with the thing, and that's how he got cancer. So, like, you're wondering how much of this, if he had prostate cancer, and by the way, if he did, prostate cancer is very treatable.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't just go from, you know, a treatable prostate cancer to stage four that's metastasizing
and
your
bones. As you're talking about treatable, how many times was he MIA where we're wondering where he is,
yep.
Where we now can assume that, well, maybe he was actually receiving treatment,
yep.
At Walter Reed or in the White House?
Roll 37 here.
So you're saying even in a medically neglected population, it would be surprising to have a surprise diagnosis with a Gleason score of 9. So you're saying that certainly
That's correct.
Serving in the Oval Office, you believe that he knew that he had prostate cancer, and even potentially as he was running in 2020 before he assumed office?
Well, most likely he had prostate cancer for a long time. And the aggressive prostate cancer such as this at age 80 grows over a long period of time. I mean, usually it takes from the first diagnosis of prostate cancer to spread would take 5 to 10 years, even in the most aggressive form. It's just, to me, it seems very surprising that the first diagnosis would be a metastatic diagnosis, especially Gleason 9 cancer, without, having his PSA history. I mean, I would like him to get to release the PSA history right now to see what it was.
There's the breakdown courtesy of News Nation. Basically, we had a commander-in-chief for the last 4 years that was mentally and physically compromised. 855-839-1210. Let's get to all of your calls. A lot of people want to jump in, some with firsthand knowledge of the awful diagnosis and treatment for prostate cancer. Let me start on line two, actually. Jim is in South Jersey, and he's went through exactly what Joe Biden is going through. Jim, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning, guys. I don't know if I can shed a light on anything, but, you know, everybody's journey through this is different. I was followed my PSA. It was bouncing up and down. As you get older, the PSA should be dropping. And mine was bouncing between 3 and 4.4, went as high as 5.8. I went to the urologist. And we started the MRI and, you know, the biopsies, and I had a mass in the left lobe of my prostate. And basically, when they biopsied it, it was a Gleason 4+4, which is 8.
Yep.
One score refers to how much it looks like the normal prostate tissue, and another one refers to best to say, dedifferentiation, how it doesn't have basement membrane, and it's all pathology. But I went through 28 rounds of radiation. My choice was either have a radical prostatectomy or the radiation treatment, and the outcome survival rate were both similar. So I took the radiation. I went through 28 rounds. It takes like a minute, 2 minutes, on the table, and then you're off, and I didn't miss work. I went to work. And finally, because I had a 4+4, I had to go through basically a mapping of the prostate where they inserted 13 rods and blew in radioactive gas. It's called brachytherapy. And basically, I was done. In prior to that, I had a PET scan with anti-PSA where they did a tracing and make sure there was no metastatic disease. So I was very lucky. I was really blessed. Mine was confined to the prostate, but I have to go on androgen deprivation therapy, which destroys your testosterone. And, you know, there's all weird side effects and stuff like that, but...
Hey, Jim, if I could ask you just a couple of quick questions here. Based on your diagnosis, what was the survival rate that you were told, the percentage? And then secondly, how old were you when you first got scanned for this? And then how old were you when you were diagnosed with it?
Well, I started being scanned in my 60-year-old, as soon as I crossed that sixth decade, but it was like 3.3. And, you know, we were watching it. And then when it bounced up, and I was getting it every physical, every year, and I was 67, so that's 6 years. Okay. And prostate cancer is a slow-growing tumor. So, you know, that I agree with.
Okay.
But it's, you know, there should have been some signs with the PSA. The urologist that I went through who did this, he usually doesn't start treatment until the PSA is 10, like doing the biopsies.
Oh.
But because mine was bouncing back and forth and, you know, went up like a couple points, he decided to do the biopsy right away.
Okay. And Jim, the survival rate, I'm assuming pretty high, you said?
Well, curative rate, because mine didn't metastasize, is about 88% cure rate.
It's
very good. I'm very thankful with that.
Yeah.
But with metastatic disease, it becomes a lot less.
Yep.
And I'm sure President Biden, since it's hormone sensitive, will probably be hit with the anti-deprivation of the testosterone.
Yeah, it seems like that Biden's probably in that 90% rate as well. So we shall see. Jim, thanks for the info, and God bless. 855-839-1210. A lot of calls. We'll get to more of them on the other side. Dawn has some news to kick off hour two. We'll continue this conversation. And then also Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, July 13th, January 6th, Jeffrey Epstein. Bunch of nothing burgers, apparently. All right. We'll talk about it. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.